This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in a cold Tuesday morning. Feels like 31 degrees below zero, 11 below in Appleton, 12 below in Green Bay, 11 below in Oshkosh. And we're being joined by Kim and Aiden Massey from Wild Goose Exchange Collabs, located right smack downtown on College Avenue in Appleton. Couldn't ask for a much better place to be. And we were just talking about the Trout Museum. Dr. Trout, of course, passed away a few months back, but that's kind of like such a landmark in downtown Appleton. And you guys are real close to that, but just the other side of the street, right?
Yeah, we are. Yes. And the Trout Museum as well, they are expanding it now, going to be adding Lawrence living spaces above it.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's moving and growing.
So tell us about it. Kim, you and I worked together, and you talked about this great thing with your son who, out of the blue, started up this weird thing collecting T-shirts.
And totally.
Yeah. Out of the blue, friends collecting T-shirts, Goodwill, different places. Yeah. And you'd go someplace, you'd have a rack, and then that's where it started.
Well, you know, it did start with Four Wheels. You know, it's been all over the board, but now it's in Kenosha and Appleton, and we're doing a lot of different things. But yeah, how we go from like our house, the round rack, we had a mobile clothes store too that we were going to start off, and this is all during COVID time. But yeah, now we're all over.
Yeah, the timing was great.
Oh, of course.
Let's try to start up a new company during COVID.
Of course. I mean, you know, you're faced with a lot of indecision. Where do you kind of take that? And you know, sometimes you just got to take the things that you never thought were the options. And that was kind of the store and clothing for me, because if you looked at me back in 2019, 2018, you would catch me wearing some pretty awful outfits, but you know, and it's all changes over time. But yeah, maybe you need a little indecision kind of a life. But
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good for you.
So the Wild Goose Exchange, that's your idea. You're young, Aiden, you're what? Young entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Are you a junior?
I'm a junior at Carthage.
At Carthage. You're studying business, I take it?
No, actually music and PR. I'm kind of all over the board, but more I want to kind of get into, I have a vocal scholarship, but I want to get more into music therapy later on in life.
Couldn't your mom just teach you the PR part? I mean, that's her life.
Trust me, I've been living around that for almost 21 years.
You'd
pick up a few things.
You'll find a lot of very, very successful business people are musicians.
Yes.
I mean, we have this Doctors in Recital we talked about on Monday, but even the guy across the street who runs that $6 billion company over there is an unbelievable bass player. So, yeah, it's just that. So don't let the business thing get away from you.
No, you don't at all. I mean, music does come kind of a second nature thing where it's like, all right, you know, I can totally see it put into the side. But it's like, yeah, business, it's like,
we might pay the bills too.
Oh, exactly. That's what, you know, it's like more the major kind of leaving with it just to get the experience.
Good for you. Yeah. So tell me, you started this store. You talked about a little bit going mobile and you do some things online, but.
Yeah. More of an online presence. I wouldn't say we really sell remotely online. We do have like a website where we have kind of our channeling to all of our medias, but otherwise it's really just kind of like we have our social media presence and our really in-person kind of stance at both locations that really hold true to our brand. So
what, tell me about your inventory. I mean, it's not Target, Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty
unique. It could be. We don't really buy anything new from Wild Fable, that and all. And that Wild Fable's Target brand. We buy a lot new and recycled. If you've been to a Buffalo Exchange in Illinois, it's kind of in the same path as that. We really base it off of what we could for sure sell it for, and we give people either in-store credit or cash. And our main model is really to open up this whole inventory of select styles and different unique pieces, even if they are new, as long as it creates kind of conversation and like those talking pieces.
That's what I mean. Where do you find some of your stuff? I mean, you used to be the guy out there on the street yourself collecting.
Yes.
It.
Oh,
now
of course.
Where is it?
Now it's all in store. We buy most of our inventory, I'd say 80 to 90% of our inventory from all in store. So I couldn't do it as much as I could back in the day without thanking the community that I'm around. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, tell me about you and him, your young son here, on this journey together.
Oh, it's a journey.
Oh, my God. For the both of us, it just is a fun thing for us to really kind of come around and talk about. Like Aiden was saying about community, So we really see our stores as that community because of the individuals that come in. We really just love to create that excitement and that camaraderie with them. And then in the meantime, we really hear from them what excites them, such as, oh, I'm going to start this new fashion brand, or I'm doing this new design on a t-shirt, or how do I do this? So we really get to hear from them, and that's really why we're there. And especially the stories from the individuals that come in with their grandparents' clothes, or, you know, there's those stories about, oh, they cherish this piece, it doesn't fit anymore, but there's beautiful stories around the clothing.
That's awesome.
Wow. That is. So tell me about how you make the decision to take on the product. Like, what are you looking for? Like, John was teasing you a little bit earlier at the break about, I've got some stuff, but it's, anyway.
No, totally.
Don't go.
Because,
back,
you know.
I spent a day going around different places. I bought some of the coolest stuff from like Goodwills and things like that you've ever seen. And not one of them has ever showed up in their window.
I believe your wife. It was your wife.
Well, somebody did.
Well, that's fair. No, I mean.
I had that Pap shirt that you liked.
Oh, I love that Pap shirt.
It's probably spilled.
You guys would love a Pap shirt, wouldn't you? An authentic one from 1974.
Oh, stained.
No. That was great. It was like that.
Well, John spills. He eats
funny. Oh, that. Yeah. No, I had to give it to him.
I do, don't I? You've seen me eat.
It's like Cookie Monster.
It's at Goodwill. Goodwill. Tell me about the stuff you're looking for. Like, what would be your genre of product?
It's all over the board, especially with kind of fishing for women's, men's, kids stuff. I mean, really, it doesn't even just come down to brand. I would say really more fabric. I don't really buy things like polyesters, nylons. I do anything from like... Yeah, I mean, I'm all
over the board.
What about
our leisure suits, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally depends. It's just with my market in Kenosha, I have a men's suit store right in front of me, so I kind of stay away from stuff like that. Otherwise, in Appleton, we're really all over the board. If people bring it in, we're usually pretty reluctant to say no.
What's in your store? If somebody walks in your store at College Avenue in Appleton, what do they see?
Well, what they see is probably a plethora and a smorgasbord of some amazing colors and pieces. But outside of that, in our Appleton store, we do have this brand new area, which we just got 1,000 square foot in our back Lawrence University space. They've just been doing a lot of construction since we're in part in tandem kind of with their new Fox Common space. But they'll come in, they'll see either our $10 t-shirt racks, we're going to have displays for Lego sets that we have that my grandpa and I kind of kindled together when I was younger. We have stuff from there to all over clothing, from a leather rack to denim to women's kids. I mean, it's all over the board, but I think the first thing you'd probably see is either my mom's big hat or big smile, you know?
Did Milani borrow your hat yesterday?
The hamburger.
So I can never pronounce her name right. Milani?
Milani.
Milani, okay.
All right.
I think it's a brand, Milani.
I can never pronounce it right. Kim, what is it?
I can't focus at times. I gotta.
But you know, we gotta
it's
go back.
The first lady.
So, Kim, tell me a little bit about your other job, though, because you do a great thing for veterans. We had Jack on from Guitars
for
Veterans.
Yeah.
Who we used to know from back in the day.
Yes, I am regional director for WBIC, and it's like 17 counties, but we just help businesses start, run, grow by just allowing them to access quality, like financial products, business training, things that typically that they face barriers to obtaining.
Things people don't know. Getting into business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've helped a lot of veterans organizations.
Yes, because of a key we do. We help men, women, people of color, low to moderate wealth. But then veterans, we do have our own. It's VBOC, which is part of WBIC. And we will be at the Veterans Village here in January showcasing our boots to business for those veterans that are interested. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Great.
Hey, the Wild Goose Exchange, you have a presence online.
Yeah.
And John asked a good question. You know, what does it look like when we walk into your store? Can we see that online? Because I think you've got some
Google.
I mean, your products are really unique. And I think we look for specialty shops all the time, especially people who have a little bit more time and maybe a little bit more money. But it's just, right, that's what you kind of look for. I experienced that this weekend looking for something.
I wouldn't say like when you walk in, it does scream that kind of the vintage, the recycled, the Goodwill, the Buffalo Exchange, and these are all parallels you can kind of tie it down to. But obviously when you come in, there is a presence of like, oh, is this too much for me? Is this too little for me? Do we come off a little too flamboyant? Do we come off too New York? Do we come off too small town Wisconsin? You know, you got all the feels all in one building, and totally, what does that mean for presence in store and online? And I think right now the biggest thing when it comes to small business, having that presence online does matter, but always having it kind of square to what we do is sometimes hard to always evaluate because it's just such a I don't know, we're such a spot where you walk in and every day it's almost different. So it's kind of fun to that factor.
People have said they love the store because they get to come in and really experiment with all different styles. Like a buffet, right? You could experiment with all different styles that you don't normally get.
Take a shrimp cocktail, you know.
And you can't shop it online. Like you can't go to Amazon and try it because the clothes vary in size. No.
That's
even
cool.
a large,
Plus, if you guys move something out, you don't just call a distributor and get six more of those things. They're gone.
They're gone. Mm-hmm. They're done. And yeah, people really need to make that haste decision either right then and there. Otherwise, it gives people kind of the full reign to just try it on and see if that's like, you know, if that's in my regimen. Because we got so many different things. And I'm sure if you take an outlook on us, it doesn't really shine on what we're always profiling with our style. But I would definitely say it speaks levels that we...
Tell us a little bit about the other stuff you brought in.
We try out.
We're going to take pictures of this stuff and everything.
Oh, yeah. You'll see on their website. But Superstar Brands is...
Silverstar. Yeah, it's okay. All right. So with the Wild Goose Exchange, the big logo is... There's a goose in it with a red and white scarf. Kind of looks like the Waldo scarf. But it was... And the saying, you never know where the wild goose goes. Well, Silverstar Brands came to us one day... their buyer and said, oh my gosh, your goose, because we always use the plastic porch goose as part of our brand, looks lonely. They said, do you know there's this whole community of porch geese and they have goose getups? So they asked, they said, could we open a goose closet? Don't ruin my brim. So we said we'd open up a goose closet. And so we opened up a goose closet. So we have all these plastic porch geese with all these getups, like a rat, like, a bunny, a hot dog, a piece of pizza. But then what we decided to do is we're like, okay, let's not stop there. Let's do Artist of the Goose. So we are taking the plastic porch geese and turning them into works of art. We're going to do one of John, too. Like a Cookie Monster.
How do I look in this hat?
But we have, look
honestly,
like
hot?
No, you look like a McSwagger. You look like Mick Jagger.
Yes!
You look like all of it. You
know? My God.
I think he looks like those guys from F Troop.
Oh, my God. Larry Storch.
So fun.
You look like the Backstreet Boys.
I know.
Aiden, do you know F Troop? Do you know F Troop?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's a great show. Ken Berry and Larry Storch.
He looks just like them. So you save yourself research.
Wow. Kim, I got to give you guys credit, though, because, I mean, you were involved in something like this with the, was it the international market in Menasha?
Oh, yeah. It was more of an artist. It was all artists.
Right.
But now this is more.
So you've had kind of a passion for this. So you guys being son and mom.
Bring it together.
That's a pretty good collaboration.
Well, I mean, when I was 4 years old, she had a market downtown Appleton, too. So I've always been kind of involved in the small world of business. So it's really fun to see that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. It's working.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tom.
And you're looking at a store here in Green Bay, Sheboygan? Do you have other?
Sturgeon Bay.
Nick's still ready to try to sell them on one here.
What a great.
Yeah. We had somebody come and ask us to open one up.
Sturgeon Bay's awesome. There's, you're kind of, I would guess there's your kind of clientele may be there, especially in the summer.
All over the board.
Yeah. And we're kind of a distributor, the buy-sell trade.
And is it one of your slogans, where the wild goose go?
You never know where the wild goose...
Yeah, in Green Bay, you will. It's Fox River Trail. That's where they go.
Oh, that's where they go. I know, you take a little walk on the board.
Fox River Trail.
Just don't wear white shoes.
Yeah, I'm talking about really going. Stick around with it. I got dysentery, for God's sakes.
That's funny.
Kim and Aiden Massey, back after this.
Love and peace.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, welcome back here. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, and 96.5 FM, WISS. Well, I got the cool hat on, so I got to be one of those hip DJs from back in the day.
Right.
Is it working? Yeah, Aiden, let's hear you sing.
Oh, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Rolling Stones. I can throw out some Moonlight Mile right now.
Let's hear a little.
Oh, yeah, I'm just about a Moonlight Mile.
Todd?
On down the road.
Him or me? Him or me?
Oh, him.
Okay. Okay. All right, just asking. Just checking,
totally.
Todd.
Totally him.
Checking in. Oh, him. Fine. All right. So, Kim, let me ask you something else. Advice, we always do this. Advice you would give young entrepreneurs getting started out there in the real world.
You think she gave me advice?
I kind of threw him in the... there's like trial by fire.
No.
That'd be for Aiden. Yeah.
But the good thing is, though, you guys started out without serious overhead.
No, none of it. Because she had her market, and she had about like 40 different vendors under one spot, and it was during COVID. And I don't know, I kind of found my footing there because I started to help with the farmers markets. And at the time, too, during COVID, I was working at Goodwill. So I was just getting introduced to all of it. So I had that platform. But yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of like shock and awe, but it was just cool to kind of have that.
I think
we
really didn't focus on like, oh, let's have the coolest of this or that or store. Let's just go in and really offer a great product and just start doing cash flow.
Yeah.
How are you doing with foot traffic, though? I do think as much as you work to advertise your product and your uniqueness, the downtown association, the city has to step up on foot traffic.
They've been awesome. They've been our foot traffic is phenomenal. Like, we don't really do any ads online. But if you think about our downtown, they have the Mile of Music, Oktoberfest. They do so much to draw small business.
Well, even
business
outside
Saturday.
Of these events, you have like a day like today where it's cold, and yesterday it was like a Monday, and you'd think on a Monday it's a slow day, and it's like, oh, it's negative 10 degrees, feels like it. But still, people are out and about, and with the new Lawrence and Fox Commons downtown, you get a lot of students that are grasp of so many new businesses downtown. So it's really cool to see
that. Well, and with collabs too, I think, and we get a lot of people from Green Bay. So the Google Maps, people type vintage and we're kind of a destination spot. We become, so people too, with our collab center now, we also do feature other clothing brands and startup storefronts. So we give them space in that back, which is what's being the collabs is a 501c3. So we do provide space for startup brands. So that drives traffic as well.
It's collaboration. That's what you're looking at. That's collabs. And collabs is it like product then? Or is it, do you have, like, who's all in that?
Yeah. So collabs is what it is we provide a space in the back for individuals starting like a clothing brand or already have established one. So example is there's a Lawrence student, Jordan, and she makes bell bottoms. And so she has her bell bottoms in the store and she's selling them at a certain price. And she also teaches sewing classes on vintage sewing machines every Saturday. So the space is for that. But then we also have another individual who's...
And the sewing lessons are at the store in the collab
space. This is cool
awesome.
Space.
Yeah.
That is. That's right? And I'll give Appleton credit for supporting that. I mean, that's not your traditional target.
Yeah. No,
right?
Not at all.
Dark Horse and Bolt, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just the catalyst for that. I don't know if that is just in part with the student life there or yet alone just how, I don't know, you'd think that with College Avenue being one big strip that it is one big community, right, that everyone kind of has not that same empath of thought of what to do, but some people just need 20, 30 minutes of time to go throw at something, and I wouldn't say our store kind of falls in that catalyst, but you fall in kind of love with it, or so many other different businesses downtown just because it's like,
Well, you need that diversity to draw people. You know, I mean, your store's great, but it's great to have restaurants and everything else in that same environment.
Oh, yeah, right next to us. I mean, you got Hoffman and then you got Bowl 91. So it's like, yeah, you could come from a night out or, you know, from work. So.
I will say this. We've had people on from the Chamber of Commerce in Appleton or Fox Cities. And, boy, you want to talk about somebody that walks the walk. They want organizations or businesses like yours to succeed. They really are pulling for you to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing because, I mean, you'd always think that some communes, especially with small business, not everyone kind of is on the same tandem, but it's really cool to see how Wisconsin is so progressive. And even in a place like Kenosha, where I'm on such the tail end of like Illinois and stuff, it's like it's the same kind of feel over there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. But I think it's just the Wisconsin magic.
But I think there's something about young entrepreneurs, though, too. We all kind of pull for them.
Well, you know what's fun? You should talk about even when he was in Kenosha with the PAC, so the Performing Arts Center. We recently had about 20 of the cast members from Mamma Mia come and do a private event in our collab center. And that's because Aiden met the lead in Kenosha store. And they're like, oh gosh, did you know? So we get to see the, so it was just a fun. So the PAC really drove a lot
that's
of that.
That's cool.
And not even that. I mean, I have people that'll come from Appleton to the Kenosha location who say, hey, I specifically came here or vice versa. And it's just, it's cool that'll, people are looking for stuff to do, and that'll bring them 2 hours away.
That's great.
And would you agree that we don't have, like, it's not, we're open to all ages that come into that store. So we get all kinds. So there's not just, like, it's not just men's, it's not just women's, but now we open the kids line. So we just,
Okay, right. Gotta ask. If somebody walked through the door with blank, what would you buy immediately?
You know what? I've been getting a huge kind of, turning point to the kind of John Travolta style. He's for men's. I want the tight nylon kind of button ups, all the 70s.
I got some. They have been sweating. I will be honest. And not washed for 30 years.
Oh, I don't know. I would say more accessories and kind of things that help in part with some of the inventory we already have would always be great and something we always kind of look for. Pants, for sure. I mean, we get so many types, but yeah, I don't know. It's really in part kind of with
what... You mentioned bell bottoms. Are they coming back?
Oh, it's all over the board.
She hopes so.
Her college tuition.
Her dad hopes so.
No, that is kind of coming back. Corduroy. I mean, you got all these different kind of looks that you thought were kind of gone. And I don't know.
It's, and you should. Well, here's another real quick thing, too, about the whole vintage community. Like, we're such a community. We even had a vintage store from Green Bay call us wanting to have some wholesale items to sell. So even within the community,
your own
it's,
network.
Like, it's a whole ecosystem. All the little youth that come in and from that go to the bins, then sell to us. Like, there's a really cool ecosystem happening. Mm.
And you, it's going to be interesting to see how this, I got, I'm talking to someone later today about this, but our president, got, who got sworn in yesterday, has a mindset of the golden age, right? He's like the Roaring Twenties, you know, that was 100 years ago, and
totally,
people
yeah.
just wore different clothes. It was a whole lifestyle. Whether you were kind of living it or not, you were living it, you know? It was just this mindset. So it's going to be interesting to see if that affects you, because I do think people are going to start to enjoy life a little bit more for the right reasons or not. The mindset is out there. Let's go have some fun. So
totally.
I think... Your place would support that.
Dress it up.
No, hey.
bring in the third to 20s, 30s.
Aiden,
so.
Give yourself a plug where you guys are, what you do.
Mama you know what? Mia. Aiden Hughes Massey, I will be found over either in Kenosha or Appleton, Wisconsin at the Wild Goose Exchange. You can find me and Kim over there either to buy, sell with us, or come say hi.
And Instagram, Wild Goose.
Instagram, yes. Instagram, Facebook,
Wild
otherwise
Goose underscore
website.
Exchange, yep.
Wild School.
Couldn't you invited somebody else besides the Mamma Mia cast?
Oh,
no, they're great. That was a great show.
Oh, you're
great.
Mrs. Yeah. Doubtfire came too, that cast
that,
did.
That was a great
and
show.
And we just had Lion King a bunch.
Are you going to brag as much if I walk through your doors?
Oh, of course. Kim. Mr. Mino and the mayor.
We'd say Big Daddy sent me.
Stick with Mamma Mia.
All right.
Back after.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Such fun having Kim and Aiden Massey, Wild Goose Exchange, and Collabs. Man, you talk about young entrepreneurs and taking their niche and creating their own niche.
And listening to their customers and
yep.
expanding. It's just a great little company. This kid started with like vintage shirts. That's why he said to you when you walked in, and I like your sweater, but he's like, nice sweater. That's the kind of stuff that
he notices.
He did. Yeah. And he has a very unique product line and oh, they're expanding and they're getting into different things, and they have this like incubator attached to them and 1,000 square feet where they
was
bring
it Lincoln Square or I mean Lawrence Square. Is that what they call it?
I think Lawrence is participating in these kids if they want to get into retail clothing, and they got a student at Lawrence that's coming in and making bell bottom jeans or something.
How cool is that? She said they'll take jeans that they can't sell, cut them up or whatever, and this girl, a student at Lawrence, will use a very old vintage sewing machine to make vintage bell bottoms. Now, personally, I'm not old enough to think that that's vintage.
Me either.
But, how about Kim, when she says, oh, I bought this really old house. It's from the 80s.
like
1880s? Okay. Well, 1980s.
Let me ask you guys something. When you did wear bell bottoms, right?
Yeah.
How many times did they get caught in your bike chain?
Oh, right. Yeah. That was a bad thing.
Yeah, that's got to be a hazard, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
They had those black little things.
Well, I used to put a rubber band around it at times.
Oh, your pants?
Yeah.
But so I used to take my 10-speed to school once the weather turned nice.
But they had those...
the guards? Piece of,
yeah, the metal that you just put around with like that sort of stuff. Didn't your parents... Did you just put those around?
We didn't have them.
I did not have those. I had a rubber band.
Did you have them? You know what I'm talking about?
No. Nobody knows.
Nobody else had that. It was a piece of metal that was like a horseshoe.
The Schmidt boys were the only ones.
Like a horseshoe, Jim. We're going back to the 19th century.
Greg Vadney, executive. Do I always pronounce your name right?
You do.
I want to pronounce it something different, but it says Vadney.
No, stick with it.
Executive director for the Rahr West Museum, 75th anniversary. Last time we talked to you was during Sputnik Fest.
Yeah. And always a wonderful part of our year.
Did our guy Pete go down there? Wasn't Pete involved in that?
Pete came down. Yeah. He was a judge for our space debris contest.
He was.
Now, you guys, I did an event in Manitoba, actually in Two Rivers, last winter. It was for the Heart Association, I believe.
Sure. Was it Heartorama?
Heartorama.
And that's been around almost as long as the Rahr West Art Museum.
That's incredible. But the whole theme for that was like,
Space and all that kind of thing.
And everything.
Yeah, so, we can't get away from that. Really quickly, because I talked about it back in August and September. The Sputnik 4 spacecraft crash landed in Manitowoc in 1962, and it crash landed right in front of the Rahr West Art Museum, which had already been a museum. It's not like we decided, oh, well, we got space junk here. Let's make a museum out of
it. Guys, what would be the coolest thing? Well, a Russian satellite falling in front of us.
Bang.
Okay. Boom. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But the Rahr West had been around for a solid 15 years. Yeah,
if
sure,
nobody was working there that day or the middle of the night, would have been really cool if it had gone right through your roof and like landed like right, and then you just displayed it exactly where it landed.
Exactly. We could just build a little case around it. And
for the act
go.
Of 50 feet Bang. Of God, you would have had that.
No kidding.
Yes. Think no about kidding. That.
I know. But I'll tell you what, you know, going through our 75 years of history, I haven't done all the digging. My curator's really been the one who's been able to be kind of like waist deep in the history of the museum. And if it had hit in 1962, it might have knocked the whole place down. Because back then, the Rahr West was, the museum was in a little bit of disrepair.
Okay.
There were a lot of communications between the city of Manitowoc, because we are a city facility, and the then director about like, man, you know, every time it rains, I'm running around with buckets. You got to do something about this roof. So it's not by chance that the museum is 75 years old. It has really taken the real hard work
from
a bunch of people through 75 years.
That's awesome.
And kudos to Manitowoc. I mean, you've done a good job with the theater down there. I think you've got good leadership down there that is investing in some of these older buildings. I think that's really important.
It's incredible.
Went to made the same move with Hamilton Building, but whatever. You guys, I think, are doing, by and large, really developing a pretty attractive community down there. And, you know, museums are part of it.
Yes, and it has to be like an active involvement that's required to keep these things going.
And I say that all the time because we travel quite a bit, and it's like stuff doesn't just happen. It takes leadership and money and philanthropy to make it work. And, you know, you've got that.
Well, I'm very grateful that the a lot of foundation was built before I got there 14 years ago now. And the museum is on really, really great footing. It's nice that we're celebrating 75 years and not saying, oh, dear, how are we going to pay the bills?
Right. You know what's weird about Manitowoc? And I mean, it's weird in a nice way. It weirdly has a lot of museums. Like, it's got that, Printer's Museum?
We have the Hamilton Wood-type Museum that I think you're talking about. The Maritime Museum, Wisconsin Maritime Museum. Just south of Manitowoc is the Farm Discovery Center.
Yes! That big barn with the whole thing?
Not to mention two historical societies right there, and a lot of other smaller institutions, art institutions and such. It really is a community that celebrates the arts and culture.
And its history.
Yep.
I want to talk about how great all three of those four things are, the Maritime. But it takes money, and I'm just not sure that barn is. I think they need a little bit more financial help. I think it's a great concept, but what I'm so happy about the Maritime and you is you've got a foundation to keep building and growing, and
we do, we have awesome. You know, we're an interesting situation because since we our founding in 1950, we have been a department of the city of Manitowoc. So we're a city-run museum, very rare for a city-run museum to be in a small town, and to have an art collection like ours with Picassos and Warhols and George O'Keefe painting, which actually is celebrating its 100th anniversary.
We knew that.
Yeah.
But we also have this great support, like nonprofit, the Rahr West Art Museum Charitable Foundation. So people are able to make donations. You know, Mayor, you probably know from your time, people are not too anxious to make a donation to a city. So, like, when somebody comes forward
really,
and they're
thank
like,
you for telling me that.
They're like, we'd like to support the museum.
Yeah. They're you know not what? Like, can I just say one thing?
Right, you're overtaxing me already.
So, it's most nice of, to have most, that most support
cities,
organization.
Most of the donations to the cities during his reign was somebody would walk in with a newspaper and he would say, you know, I'm going to open up to the classifieds, right between the classifieds and the obituaries. Yeah, well. If there's an envelope in there, we'll talk. If not, have a nice day. That's how it was with him for
donations. Well, we built
the
city deck, so.
Exactly.
Right.
Great point.
I, you're right.
I know, I got to ask a quick question. Is RAR the RAR beer people?
Yeah, it is.
Yes. It is? Okay.
Yeah, it was RAR beer. It's still RAR malting. They're out in Minnesota now.
But there was RAR.
There was a RAR brewery.
I had, you know what I had one time that I'd give anything to have RAR back? Beer. I had a RAR beer Packers schedule. One of those big, old cardboard.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay,
and
that's
I
cool.
And I sold it to somebody. It was the most beautiful artwork that they used to do on those schedules.
Man, I'll tell you what. I went out they to did. Visit them last year in Minnesota, and the people there, like Manitowoc was just like this part of their history, but nobody had been to Manitowoc. So they got all these photos. They've got a bunch of the old artwork. I'm like, you know that a lot of the stuff is still there. And of course, there's a museum with your name on it
right.
out there. It like blew them away that they have this long legacy here in Wisconsin.
That's cool.
That's awesome. So how are you celebrating the 75th?
Well, we're going to be celebrating all year long.
As you should.
But the big one that's coming up is we're doing an open house to kind of kick off the year on Saturday, February the 8th. It's an all-day event. It's free to the public. But we're going to be opening up, you know, we have a historic mansion that's a major part of the museum. It was all decorated for Christmas. We had to shut it all down, get all those Christmas trees into the closets and clean up all the pine needles and all that stuff. And now we have it set up with a selection of exhibits that will be opening on February 8th that all highlight. They'll have the through line of our history. So we'll be talking about the 100th anniversary of our Georgia O'Keeffe painting, which is really our hallmark, a painting that's traveled all around the world and known to be one of her great early works. And then also we've got all of these exhibits that interconnect the history of the museum. So that's going to be happening. But we have a bunch of other things going on that day. I'm going to be doing a tour, I got to bone up for this because people are going to expect the real nuggets of trivia from the 75 years of the RAR West Art Museum.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a tour that morning at 11:30. And then also at 1 p.m., we have a Art of Conversation series speaker, Laura Bickford, who's a curator of art at the John Michael Kohler Art Center. And she'll be talking about a local artist in Manitowoc, Rudy Rotter. We are working with the Rotter family and have an exhibit called Essential Creativity, the work of Rudy Rotter. It really celebrates his life as a creative in our community. And he was self-trained. So it talks about, like, there isn't a necessity that you go through your entire life and make it your primary career to be an artist. That's great. But you can also be an artist in your everyday life, and that's what he was.
You know, this is kind of cool because we had Beth on from the Neville Public Museum, 110th anniversary of their Green Bay Art Colony, and it started for women, that exhibition. And that's just great because it's not handed to you. You're not the Green Bay Packers. You're not the Milwaukee Brewers. You're not the whomever. You guys have had to start at the grassroots and fight and scrape and do it for everything, and it's a constant thing, isn't it?
It sure is, and I don't want to begrudge my Brewers, the Packers.
No, but
They have also had some lean years in those early years, of course, but the arts sometimes get that short shrift, and
if there's a budget cut, what's first sometimes?
Right. A lot of times.
And that's why we should look at these sports entities of giving, you know, X percent to the arts. Because
and they do.
It's hard,
you know, that's a
to
great
get,
thing, too.
It's hard to stay in business being because you don't charge a lot. And, people, like you said, even the philanthropy part can be challenged.
It takes that public-private partnership,
it does.
In our case, to make sure that we can provide like top tier art education and art programming for our community.
I just thought of one other way, and not to talk about your competition, but you guys are all working together. A little known one maybe is the Christmas Tree Museum, the Christmas Tree Shipwreck.
Oh no!
Museum.
Oh yeah, that's the Maritime Museum has a little bit of that, and then
but then Two Rivers.
Oh yeah,
there's the one right.
Yes, the fishing village.
The fishing village. Yes.
So they talk about a lot of the shipwrecks, which, of course,
Christmas
we now
tree
have
ship
the federal shipwreck coast.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty cool.
It is amazing what kind of culture there is. But it's up to us as cultural leaders to share on shows like yours what's going on and how we celebrate our unique culture here in Wisconsin.
I think it's great.
And I think it's, you talk about the tour you're giving at 11:30. The locals should come to that because it's one of those places. I mean, who hasn't driven by the Rar West, right? Everybody
well,
has.
Well, both of you guys have spent a lot of time in Manitowoc Two Rivers area.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so the public invite to you as well. Come on by. Yeah. I'm learning stuff every single day about the history of this place that I've been at for many years. So I'm chock full of information. I can't wait to share.
You said to use your, you have to bone up on the tour, but you should. I'm just saying that do a little dress rehearsal or whatever, because the first question you get is from some guy who knows that, you know, the smartest guy in the room.
Of course.
It's like, yeah, I'll get back to you on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, so. I'm going to be full of it. Ask
Are
any
you?
Questions.
Okay. All right.
I will be ready for you.
Turn around. Let me just Google that real quick. Yeah.
What's your background in this, Greg, the interest in museums?
Oh, man, I grew up in upstate New York in Revolutionary area. So
wow.
Not far from Saratoga Battlefield. I was a big fan of, like, American Revolution stuff. But I never thought of museums as a career. It wasn't until after college, I was knocking around. I was in Washington, D.C., and I started to volunteer at the Smithsonian.
Wow! Smithsonian.
Yeah, the American History Museum. And goofing around there and was like, you know what? Maybe this is the career path. And then I went to school in Cooperstown, New York. Got to work at Baseball Hall of Fame for a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was just an incredible experience, right? As a matter of fact, I was just... You know, with Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker passing away last week, I saw some of the clips were from his when he received the Ford Frick Award
right
at the Hall of Fame. That was the day after I moved to Cooperstown.
No,
and unfortunately, I wasn't there for that speech. But I remember driving in, and Cooperstown's a tiny town.
Right,
it's like 3,000 people.
Right,
pull in, it's just. I didn't know. My wife and I got married in Manitowoc, moved immediately there, and the whole street is filled with Hall of Famers. Like, stop, look out the window. It's Kirby Puckett and Dave Winfield just standing on the corner.
Right.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Awesome. That's Greg, cool. I envy you. I think this is awesome what you do. Executive Director, Rar West Museum in Manitowoc, their 75th anniversary. One more time, who, what, when, and where?
It's at the corner of North 8th Street and Park Street in Manitowoc. It's free to the public. It's Friday, Saturday, February the 8th.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if you haven't been to Manitowoc, well, it's no longer one way on that one street.
That's right. It's two way, and you can find out more at rarwestartmuseum.org.
Phenomenal. Greg, thank you so much. Best of luck. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you, guys.
Mind on the Mayor, back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. They look at life with such disregard. They say it can't be won the way the game is run. But if you choose to stay, you wind up. Hey, welcome back!
On the Mayor Show, man, we had some great guests today. Nick Slupski, Cheese Curd Nick from the Dog House, Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum. They've got a great thing taking place. 110th anniversary of the Green Bay Art Colony Exhibition for Women, which is just, I still can't believe that was started up before the Packers were even organized, and they are going strong. Jack Swanson, guitarist for Vets, great people. Kim and Aiden Massey, Wild Goose Exchange, collabs, downtown. Appleton, and of course, Greg Vadney, Executive Director of the Rar West Museum in Manitowoc. And Jim had to run out. We got the Nickster filling in. I would think you would have some cool old clothes from your days back at Hortonville High.
No,
some old polar bear gear.
I am all
gear.
About turning it over. Turn and burn. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, I just read a thing about that. It's like how to start the new year good. And it's like, go through your clothes. If you didn't wear something in 2024,
yes.
Toss it.
Yes.
Just toss it.
You can do that closet organizer thing where you hang your clothes a certain way, and then if you don't turn it around in a certain amount of time, that's your cue.
I do that.
No, you don't.
I do, but it's a little
Johnny,
bit...
I don't believe anything in your closet is hung up.
Well, it's not my closet. It's on my floor.
Correct.
If I pick something up, say, I haven't picked this up off the floor in a year.
You're doing the sniff test, aren't you?
Then I put it on.
Then you... Oh,
just like,
jeepers.
I miss you. That's what it is. How's your vacation?
It's great. got to go see some family in South Carolina.
Awesome.
So, thanks for turning the temperature down for me.
How warm was it there?
Woof.
Nice.
Not, I mean,
not
it was
31 below. It's still cool. Folks, if you're just tuning in,
bundle up.
First of all, where have you been? 12 below in Green Bay, 11 below in Appleton, 11 below in Oshkosh, wind chill of 31 degrees below zero.
Yes, in fact, discussing what temperature I was returning to, their heads were just sort of like, it wasn't mathing for them. They're
that
like,
it could
wait,
possibly be that cold, huh?
Below zero, like it can get cold, yeah. Then zero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't beachy or anything like that.
Are you going to Arizona for spring training?
I am, and that is in 52
Not that you're
days?
Counting.
No. No. Spring training starts even before that.
Oh, I know. What couple pitchers weeks. And catchers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought that'd be cool, because I was a catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And I always thought...
You've got the knees and the... Yeah.
I always thought that'd be fun to just be pitchers and catchers before there's... Because spring training is... There's so many guys there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because you bring everybody in the organization.
Everybody's invited.
There. So it's hard to pick out who's who or whatever. But pitchers and catchers... Because I covered spring training for, you know, all the years I lived in Arizona. And that was one of the most fun times of year. Because every day, it's like... We would literally sit around. My buddy Greg, who we had on the show here about a week ago, because he had been a reporter in Los Angeles talking about the fires. But he had been a sports guy. And we'd just get up in the morning and we'd call each other or whatever. And it's like... Hey, which team should we cover
right.
today? It's like, well, let's go to the Cubs and do a story on, and actually, I remember this. The guy was a jerk. Bill Buckner. It's like, I'm going to go do a story. And that's before he blew the game, you know,
really?
For the Mets and the Red Sox, the World Series game. And he was just kind of a jerk.
Nobody
I still
was
remember
watching.
That. But it's like every day we would go to like a different camp and, mm-hmm. Today I'm going to do a story on so and so. Or
it's
like,
so cool.
At Cleveland, really one of the cool Cleveland experience. Indians, which was in Tucson, one of their. Alumni spokespiece was Bob mm-hmm. Feller, maybe the greatest pitcher in Major League history. I'd see him every day. It's like, hey, sure. Bob. Hey, John. And it was just spring training
just
used
no
to be
deal.
Such a cool thing.
Yeah.
But even over in Arizona a couple of years ago for spring training at the Brewers Complex, okay, it's a beautiful complex, first mm-hmm. of all, if they have. But you got the one area where, you know, okay, you're doing your workout in the stadium, and then there's another kind of workout stadium. Then there's another area where it's just the pitchers working out, and some of these kids look 17. I mean, really, really
well,
young
it's
guys.
The whole minor league side is the complex.
That, exactly.
And
that
it's a
minor
clover
league
leaf
side
of
was really
fields.
Cool because these are like their high draft picks and kids
yes,
from college.
Exactly.
That was awesome. But you know the one thing that I noticed, Nikki? How technical baseball, even when the guys were like warming up the catchers, mm-hmm. there was somebody behind them with his computer.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure it was the speed, the how much things broke.
Absolutely.
It's mind-boggling how technical baseball has become. You have to go to spring training to really see it in action.
But it's really cool because you do have just a different sneak peek
different
at these
vibe.
Guys.
Absolutely.
And they're,
everybody's
as
relaxed.
As they're going station yep. to station, they're still signing yep. autographs for kids and
everybody's
giving
chilled,
high fives.
Everybody's relaxed. Oh, it's great. If you cool. haven't done that, folks, look for a place to go a little bit warmer. Go down to Arizona or Florida. I don't know much about the Florida teams, to be honest with you. But the Arizona teams, you go down there, and if you love baseball, it's fun. Although I will say this, it's not cheap. Like years and years ago, I used to go to, you know, if we went to an right. exhibition game or whatever, it's like $5. Now it's like.
I mean, it's not big league.
It's like $50 a ticket at times, though, isn't it?
Right. But you're going to be sitting much, much closer.
Yeah.
It's not when you're at their home ballpark, but.
Right.
Right, ever.
Yeah. But
you're
it's
good.
Spring training is a really cool event.
Treat yourself. You're
yes.
Only here.
So being owner of the Timber Rattlers, do you get like inside stuff? Do you just walk into the clubhouse anytime you want? Just whatever, and just kind of, hey.
I personally do not do that.
Okay.
Based on, yeah.
You're not like yes. the owner in Major League, huh?
No. There's not a cardboard cutout.
Of you?
They would probably be
win.
Putting
yeah.
clothes hey, or
I think it's that way. And then they put
up.
Stuff on.
Right,
every
exactly.
Every time they win a game.
Like,
they,
covering
exactly.
up her face or
yeah.
shutting her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some pretty cool opportunities to go behind the scenes, see the clubhouse, see offices, stuff like that.
And you know what's cool? When I was there last time, they honored Raleigh Finger. I didn't even know they had this Cactus League Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And they gave it to sure. Raleigh Fingers. And then Raleigh Fingers are signing autographs. And if you bought a certain type of beer, you'd get it for free or something.
It was cool. Our last, when we went last year, they were talking about, because it was Pat Murphy's, or yeah. Murph's first season managing, right? And they were, you know, it was kind of Craig Council is still that he who shall not be named. And somebody was telling us that the day that they announced that Craig Council got signed, within like 30 minutes, every single picture Craig Council was in was down. Like, well, we do not. We broke up.
Going to that team from the north side of Chicago.
Bad news.
That's like going from the Packers to the Vikings.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
All right. Thanks for filling in, Nick. Great to have you back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Did you miss me? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Simple. Absolutely?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm a weirdo.
I didn't shower this morning. Can you tell?
I did. Yeah. I
mm-hmm. All right. We got to go. We're back in tomorrow morning. London, Mayor Nick. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.